It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. We are looking at these issues, searching for truth and for clarity, helping you get your brain around these issues so that you can engage in conversation with friends and family and colleagues. We are in an epic battle of ideas in America right now. And for freedom, for the American idea to win out, we have to be engaging in these conversations with people. And that is why we do this show. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And that's why we look at these issues. There's a whole lot of force going around right now. And it's important you understand that. And I get to work with this great team. And that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And you listeners, I appreciate you listening as well today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And live with intention. We live with intention in our lives, don't we, producer Steve?
Oh, my gosh. If we didn't have intention, we couldn't do this, what we do every day. And you mentioned the listeners. Are you still hearing on a regular basis? Is that flow, you know, unending?
Yes, yes. And I really appreciate you reaching out to me via email. That is the one thing that we do a lot. We're putting out a lot of things going on out here, and I get behind on emails. And that is one thing that is a little bit of a burden for me, Steve. I love hearing from you, and I'm going to be working on just continuing to try to get caught up on those. But thank you to each of you that I hear from. I so appreciate it.
Sounds like a problem. Any aspiring show host should have, like you do. And I asked the question because you and I recently attended the Marine Memorial fundraiser, and one of the gentlemen there he didn't pounce on me, but he came out of nowhere and just, you know, pumping my hand and thanking me directly for, you know, the role that I play here. And it was just, it was so uplifting. And I'm thinking, man, I'm just doing, you know, what I can do here. But he was so supportive, I guess. So that's why I'm asking these questions.
Oh, that is so awesome. And that was such a special event. Over on America's Veteran Stories, we've been doing this series from this book, Echoes of Our War, Vietnam Veterans Reflect 50 Years Later. And so there's been 10 Vietnam veterans that each contributed a chapter. And so we have been interviewing these guys as for the show, as well as helping Paula Sarles, who is a Vietnam-era veteran and a Gold Star wife. She is really spearheading raising money to remodel the Marine Memorial. And so when we were at that event, did you not feel like you were in a room of heroes, all of these combat veterans there? I mean, I really, it kind of took my breath away, Steve.
Well, I had that sense because, again, the individual who pulled me aside and talked to me, and I knew there were other individuals there who were all part of this. But I think the icing on that cake was when the MC got up and made sure we were all aware that there were two veterans from Iwo Jima there. That was the kicker.
Yeah, and it does. It just takes my breath away. So to the point, I love hearing from each and every one of you. I so value you. That's why we do this, is because we care about our fellow man and our fellow Americans. And that's why we do this show. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll talk with Jen Hewlin, who is one of our great sponsors. Also, she's a real inspiration. She's the owner of Water's Edge Winery. We'll go through some headlines, our bill of the day. Sue Kinfield, who is an expert on resiliency, and my gosh, we need a lot of resiliency after coming through this crazy year. We'll talk with her in segments 3 and 4. But let's go ahead and get to our quote for the day, which is Dale Carnegie. And one of our listeners reached out and said, gosh, it would be great to have this on the website. And I hadn't really thought about that. I guess we had talked about it a while ago. So I sent that over to Zach, and we'll see if we can find a spot where we can put that on the website, because I think people might like that.
Good luck. I've seen the website many times now, and there's more busyness there than you can shake a stick at.
Not bad busyness, just a lot of good information. Right?
Absolutely, yes. And that's not a derogatory thing. It's just, you know, how much good info can you find in one place?
You can find a lot of it at KimMunson.com. And here's our quote for today from Dale Carnegie. He was an American writer and lecturer, the developer of courses in self-improvement, salesmanship, corporate training, public speaking, and interpersonal skills. Born into poverty on a farm in Missouri, he was the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, a bestseller that remains popular today. He was born in 1888. He died in 1955. And I thought Dale Carnegie was the perfect guy to quote, since we're going to have Sue Kinfield on later to talk about resiliency. This is what he said. Fear is the result of a lack of confidence. A lack of confidence is the result of not knowing what you can do. A lack of knowing what you can do is... A lack of knowing what you can do is caused by a lack of experience. And a lack of experience is caused by a lack of doing something new. Did that make sense? It seems like there was one word missing here as I'm looking at it.
No, it made total sense. And the first time I read it, it took me back to age 19, enlisting in the Air Force, because there was nothing but fear at that point.
Oh, I can only imagine. And yeah, there was one word that was missing. I just copied this. It says, I think it's that second sentence, a lack of not knowing what you can do is caused by a lack of experience. That makes more sense. And then a lack of experience is caused by a lack of doing something new. So I thought that was pretty inspirational, Steve.
Oh, it's classic. And I take it very personal and put it into the, you know, back in the days of when I was, again, at a very young age and taking that huge step forward. I just can't even comprehend where I'd be today had I not taken those steps.
Right. I think we've all had those times in our lives. And again, you just have to try something new. You know, you and I were debating on just what today's going to look like. I think that we'll do this bill of the day in the second segment. This is all about gun control. And I think we really need to unpack that, if you will. And as you know, Steve, we are searching for truth and clarity on these issues, and we're an independent voice. And we stay independent because of the contributions that you are making as listeners to the show, as well as these great partners that I get to work with. And one of my great partners that makes this show available to you, keeping our independent voice on the air, is Jen Hewlin. She is an entrepreneur, and she is the owner of Water's Edge Winery. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim, Steve. Good to talk to you again, as always.
Jen, before we get into what's happening at the winery, we'll be talking with Sue Kinfield in segments 3 and 4 regarding resiliency. This last year has been challenging, particularly for small businesses, but you've done a lot of things to stay resilient in the business there at the winery. What would you like to share with our folks about that?
Well, I can tell you it's been quite a year. I was just going through some social media posts and reliving April of 2020 all over again. And it's been quite a challenge. But I will tell you, having a really good basis of friends surrounding you and keeping you propped up has been very helpful from a mental standpoint. Being able to pivot from a business standpoint, you know, if they lock you out, you got to find a way around them. And so that's what we did at the winery. We did curbside to go when that's not really part of our business model. We've added full-size pizzas over the last year. We've now added a bunch of gluten-free options. So I think the important thing, I guess, that I would tell people out there, if you're in business, you can't be too structured that you can't pivot, because you never know what's going to come or what's going to happen in your life where you need to quickly be able to adjust and make a change and look at business differently, see what people are wanting, what they need, be aware of the market around doing them. Talk to your customers and they'll tell you. They really will. They're very specific. This is what we want to see. This is how things could be better. And so highly recommend that. Just that communication piece is so important.
And Jen Hewlin, I know that you have been an inspiration to many small business people around not only the metro area, but also around the nation. So thank you for that. What is happening this month at Water's Edge Winery?
Well, so as I mentioned, we have recently added gluten-free options, and everything's going amazing. I did not realize how many people needed gluten-free. So I've connected with a company called Gluten-Free Things out of Arvada, wonderful humans that just want to provide options for people that are celiac or that have gluten intolerances. And right now we are doing pizza. So we have pizza crust, we have bread, and we're able to do our paninis and sandwiches. And then we also have chocolate chip cookies, and they are amazing. So I expected them to taste like cardboard, and I was a little hesitant, and cooked one up, popped it in my mouth, and I was just floored at how delicious it was. So really exciting. We've got a bunch of new wines in the tank. The vintner has been busy making wine for us. I'm not really ready to fully announce this, but we've purchased a new spot and we are moving our production there. So we are starting construction on it. I'm excited. We'll have a little tasting room there as well. So we're going to have another location, but that's TBD. So you guys have to keep listening to the Kim Monson Show so you can find out where we're going to be moving.
Oh, well, I love it. And actually, Jen, I'm going to be over this evening. I'm going to be celebrating a birthday with a good friend of mine, so I will see you later today.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, and we'll be right back with more headlines.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. Steve, let's jump in here on these bills of the day. The first one is House Bill 21-1106, Safe Storage of Firearms. And the other is Senate Bill 21-078, Lost or Stolen Firearms. And the way that they title these sounds somewhat innocuous. I mean, safe storage of firearms sounds like a good idea, right? And actually, all of the gun owners that I know are very responsible about their firearms, how they store them, where they're at. I really don't think that it's government's business to start to come into people's homes and tell them what they can and cannot do in their homes. And so this is much more overreaching than just safe storage of firearms. The bill requires that firearms be responsibly and securely stored. That sounds great. When they are not in use, to prevent access by unsupervised juveniles and other unauthorized users. The bill creates the offense of unlawful storage of a firearm if a person stores a firearm in a manner that the person knows or should know that a juvenile can gain access without permission of the parent or a resident of the premises is ineligible to possess a firearm under state or federal law. It makes it a Class 2 misdemeanor. Now, Steve, when we were talking about this before we went on air, you seem to not think this was such a bad idea, or at least I'm kind of paraphrasing. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, both of them, 1106 and what was the other one? 21078 from the Senate. Both of them struck me as, you know, mostly for the most part, common sense type legislation. Over my adult history, I think of the number of times you see stories in the paper or on the news about a child who got a hold of a firearm and had some kind of a disastrous outcome. So the first one, 1106, that didn't strike me as anything but more than just common sense. And I know that it gets your dander up, but common sense is so lacking in this culture. You can't believe that somebody doesn't know what to do with a firearm in their home and how to store it. And think, especially if they have, you know, younger children around. So 1106 didn't strike me as, you know, too absurd, certainly not as some of the other ones since we've been doing the bill of the day. The other one, 21078, again, it's more kind of procedural. I didn't see it as a attack on my rights or anything like that. So my observation.
Okay. So what we have here is government that's coming in under the guise of saying that they want to protect children, that they are going to come in and tell you what you can and cannot do in your home. That's basically under the guise of what's happening. This is actually really more about trying to take away the people's right to protect themselves. Now, let's think about it, Steve. Let's say that there's bad guys. What we need to connect the big dots here of what's happening in America. Safe and responsible storage of firearms just makes sense. And what you described, I mean, it breaks our heart when we have heard stories of a child that might have gotten a hold of a firearm and ended up with the death of the child. Those stories are tragic, but they're very, very few and far between. When you take a look at these people that say that they're pushing this forward, that they care about children, all of these people are Democrats, and the Democrat Party currently, actually, here in Colorado, you can have abortions up until the day of birth. And so if you really cared about children, Steve, I think that that might be a place that you might really want to go to work, because there are many, many more children that are killed by abortion than by unsafe storage of firearms.
Okay, I guess in my mind, I don't go in a lateral direction to see where the overlap may or may not be. Okay, now I lost my train of thought. Excellent thing to do while you're on the air. if 1106 is taken at face value only, there's the common sense component to it. If they're using it as a toehold to go somewhere else in another direction, then, okay, now I get suspicious. What's up?
Okay, now look at the players on this. These are people that are continuing to want more and more control of your life. So it's not that crazy to say this. What if at some point in time we see that, that these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties have determined that childhood obesity is a real problem, and that in fact your child, because they're measuring all of this at school, is they're in the obese level. What's to say now, in order to keep that child safe, we're going to need to reduce their obesity levels, and so we're going to come in and take a look at what you're feeding your child. I know that seems a little bit out there, but come on, let's think about Cuomo and in New York, de Blasio telling you whether or not you can have a sugary drink. I mean, the idea that government can come in and tell you what to do in your home under the guise of keeping children safe, when these are people that don't really care about children, this is really a camel's nose under the tent, Steve.
Well, you got me there. I'm a rookie, I guess, even though, you know, we're close in age. And the way I take so much at face value, and maybe I'm not as experienced as you are in terms of finding the other things that are potentially going on in the background. your words about them not really caring about kids and, you know, the other concepts in being pro-life, those are valid concerns. And I see where you're connecting those dots. I guess I'm just not as good at it as you are.
Well, Representative Mullica, who is one of the sponsors of this House Bill 21-1106, remember when we had named the Cruel 17? And I can't remember if Duran was or not, but there were 17 representatives in the Colorado State House that there was a bill that basically during the COVID shutdown said that the people should not have to die alone, that they could have loved ones near them. And Mullica voted against that bill. He voted to let people die alone. His wife is actually one of the directors from Adams County on Tri-County Health. So just connecting some dots for you. I mean, just think about what happened during this whole shutdown with Tri-County Health and the mental health of children. I mean, just connect all those dots, Steve.
Yeah. Your experience in the political arena, I guess, is what drives, you know, your ability to do these types of things. And
listen to the show. Listen to the show.
or run for office. I don't know.
I think maybe you should. One other thing then on this lost or stolen firearms. Once again, we have seen this movement to try to register firearms. Now, let's just think about it. If the government has a complete registry of firearms, then you get a bad guy in office, and they now know where everyday people, their firearms, and people have said, I don't want the government to know all of my firearms and how many I have. It's not their business. And so this is a camel's nose under the tent to try to, again, have firearm registration. And I want to go to a quote, Steve, as we look at this. We had quoted Hitler's propaganda guy yesterday,
but Goebbels,
is it Goebbels? There's no R in it, but you're better at German than I am.
Well, my 2 years of high school German says the way it's spelled, it's Goebbels.
Okay. And so I remember this. Somebody told me this as a kid, that Hitler said to conquer a nation, first disarm its citizens. And there looks like a book. I may see if I can try to get this guy on. It's called Gun Control in the Third Reich. And remember, Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And is this Democrat Party that we now have in America? It's not the Democrat Party of JFK. It's not the Democrat Party of your parents. It is now talking about socialism and romanticizing socialism. So again, connecting these dots of Hitler disarmed its citizens, and then you saw it didn't work out very well for people in Germany. And so we see the same thing here, where this Democrat Party is working to disarm its citizens, and these two bills, House Bill 21-1106 and Senate Bill 21-078, are two ways that they gain more control by registries and by preventing you to be able to access your firearm. Now, another thing, again, connecting a big dot. Remember during the election season when we had these different district attorney candidates that were running for office, and two of them actually ended up being defeated, and a very left-leaning DA was put into office. And then we had the guy that had worked as a prosecutor in the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office. We've got a podcast on the show where they are very concerned of these DAs are not prosecuting crimes, and they're making our neighborhoods less safe. So, Steve, think about this. You've got bad guys at the door, and instead of you being, because you're responsible, you being able to access your firearm to protect yourself and your family, you've got to say, wait a minute, don't try to get into my house yet. I've got to go get my firearm, get the lock off, get it out of the storage. Just wait a minute. Just think about that, Steve.
I'll be with you in 5 minutes.
You'll be with me in 5 minutes?
No, I've been telling them that's what you yell through the door. I'll be with you in 5 minutes.
Just stay there. So hopefully I'm making the case. Can you see the danger in this legislation?
Oh, no doubt. And again, you've maybe helped me visualize the bigger picture better than I was.
Okay. Good, good, good. I tell you what, let's jump over here to Jason McBride. He's a senior VP with the Presidential Wealth Management. Did I make any sense to you, Jason, on this?
Yes, I'll be installing giant vats of boiling oil above all of my entries into the house.
I hadn't thought of that as an option on that. So you're always creative, Jason McBride. And the market has been moving to new highs, and there's different things out there that I think people can do. I think people need to take a risk tolerance, that kind of the tummy check, how they feel when you have volatility in the market. And we've been talking about that. But one other thing, when you and I chatted just yesterday, you said that people really appreciate an annuity check. And tell me just a little bit about that.
Well, Kim, sometimes annuities can be complicated, and sometimes they just seem complicated. And, you know, I find a lot of times folks may have put money into one a few years back, and, you know, the memories kind of fade. They've forgotten, like, what the features are, how the product works, and, you know, they get a little bit sour on it. And I find a lot of times, if they come in, I can look over the statements. Even we'll just call the annuity company and figure out exactly what it is that they own, what features does it have. And I'll tell you, probably 3 out of 4 times, I have a person that leaves my office very, very happy with what they own, and even happier that that they really understand for the first time what it is that they have and what it's for and what they can do with it. So I think it's a very valuable free service that I offer to folks, Kim. If you come in, just make an appointment, bring your latest statement on your annuity, the original contract if you have it, and we'll figure out how it works. And there isn't going to be any high pressure to sell it and put you into something else. I'm just there to give you an honest opinion on what it is you have, and then you can make your own decision on how you want to proceed or what actions you want to take, if any.
You know, it seems to make a lot of sense. And so people, now again, tell me what people need to bring in to do this annuity check.
You know, just the latest statement, if they have it, and if possible, the original annuity contract that explains everything. A lot of times people can't find that, and it's not absolutely necessary, Kim, because we could just call the company and ask them questions too. But if you do have the latest statement and the contract handy, it's nice to bring both of them if you can.
Most definitely. How can people set an appointment up with you, Jason?
No problem, Kim. And again, this is absolutely free, no high pressure, no obligation. To set that up, give me a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much, and we will be right back with Sue Canfield.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look for truth and clarity by looking at these issues. It's freedom versus force, force versus freedom. One of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And knives have been around since the Stone Age, and for good reason. They're functional, durable, and versatile, and they are an essential part of the All-American Toolkit. So whether you are a hunter, angler, or outdoorsman, you no doubt have a favorite knife or two that you just can't do without. Where do you go when you want to add to that toolkit? Well, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located in Sedalia, Colorado. They offer custom knives, unique folders, and fixed blades from the world's greatest makers. And Castlegate's not your average knife shop where other stores carry the same boring products. Castlegate carries unique custom knives from local Colorado makers and other top blade smiths from around the world. Check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com. And on the line with me is Sue Kinfield. She is a friend. She is a resiliency expert. She's an expert on helping people with kind of interpersonal connections. Sue Kinfield, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am well. Sue, tell us your journey. How have you become an expert in resiliency and helping people live successful lives?
Well, I guess I'd have to start with sort of my why, if you will. I believe in the power of human ability and the importance of human flourishing so that people can reach their full potential. And I've been interested in human behavior and the human condition for as long as I can remember. I have studied psychology in college, have a master's degree in counseling, although I didn't become a licensed therapist because I took those skills into the business world. And so a lot of what I do is working with organizations and individuals, kind of leading transformative initiatives to help build agile and resilient organizations to enhance human capital, strengthening leadership and increasing talent retention and aligning organizational strategy and culture. We spend so much time at work, and you know that's where some of the issues that we all have to deal with arise. And so that's where I spend a lot of my time in helping either speaking or training. I'm an executive coach, and I specialize a lot in emotional and behavioral intelligence, and resilience is a large part of that. And so I was leading a essential organization when COVID hit as an interim executive director, and just watching how people responded and reacted and what we had to do to protect the clients that we had there, the kids that we were taking care of on a 24-hour basis. And so I have numerous experiences throughout the course of my life where I can reflect on the opportunity that I had to choose to be resilient or to let those circumstances define me. And, you know, luckily, whether it's genetics or training or just a desire to keep moving forward, I kept moving forward. So I want to help other people do that as well, particularly as we come out of this COVID experience, which I hope we're going to do soon. I think a lot of the relief that people were looking for in 2021 has yet to arrive, and we're dealing with some additional challenges now. So
you are uniquely equipped in this resiliency work because your life story is one of resiliency. And so I think that you're able to really understand people as we're going through these challenges. I'd love it if you'd share just a little bit about your story because I find it so inspirational.
Sure. So you and I have talked, you know, early on, our family was separated, if you will. My parents split up when I was pretty young. My mom was raising five kids by herself. She got to a point in time where she needed some support. She needed some help. So we were separated and put among our father's siblings, our aunts and uncles. And there was a children's home. It was a Catholic orphanage at the time. And my grandmother's brother, Al, worked in the kitchen there. And they were shifting from being an all-boys Catholic orphanage to being a children's home. And when he heard about that, he shared that with the family. And they were going to allow girls in. And the family decided it would be better for us all to be there together. So all five of us went into this children's home. And my sisters and I were the first three girls there. And so we wound up spending 2 years there while our mom could get on her feet and get a place large enough for us all to live in together. And so that, you know, gave me the opportunity to kind of learn some resiliency. You know, it was a disruption at a really critical time in our childhood development. But we were blessed to be well cared for by the nuns who ran the children's home at the time. And, you know, decades later, I had the opportunity to be asked to step in as the interim executive director when they went through a leadership change. And that was just a humbling honor to go back and serve a mission that had done so much for my family. And then to also see the children who were there now, who have experienced trauma, abuse, and neglect, going through their own journey and trying to overcome, you know, some of the circumstances of their life.
Can you share a story about the little guy that just thought you were the cat's meow, or is that possible on air?
Sure. So, you know, and this kind of goes a little bit to the idea of control and how important control is in our life. You know, that sense of control that we have. One of our clients woke up one night after having a nightmare, and he was talking to the overnight person. And somehow they got on the topic of who the leadership of the agency was. And she had heard my story that I shared when I spoke to a group at a St. Michael's dinner, St. Michael's organization, our society dinner the fall of 2019. So she was able to share my story with this young individual who was staying with us. And he said, "You mean Miss Kenfield had problems in life too?" And she said yes, and so he wanted to meet, and he decided that, you know, we would have lunch. So the two of us had lunch with his therapist, and we had a chance to talk a little bit. And then he shared with the staff that he wanted to come back when he was older and work at this particular agency. And so already at a young age, he was able to start to envision a different life for himself and could see that because I had been there, that my experience there, you know, didn't have to define me in a negative way in my life. And so I just feel really blessed that he and other kids who knew my story there got to see that what happened to them, you know, which is really challenging, doesn't have to define the rest of their life for them.
I just get chills whenever I think about that whole story, Sue Kenfield. Before we get further into this, we're going to want to give out your information several different times for people that might like to reach out to you. Do you help individuals, companies, nonprofit? Who do you work with?
So I do a lot of work with individuals who want to take a deeper dive in some of the skill sets that I help people with, you know, from an emotional and behavioral intelligence, building their resiliency skills. I work with organizations to help develop more productive teams. Right now, organizations, you know, as they think about bringing people back, there's going to be challenges that they're going to face in terms of conflict between differing points of view about vaccines, not vaccines, masks versus no masks, and just getting some people comfortable with resuming in-person work in light of the amount of fear that's been pumped out into our society. So, yes, I work with private companies, public companies, and nonprofit entities as well as individuals.
Okay. And how can people reach you?
SueKenfield.com is my website, and you can reach out to us through our website.
And that's Sue Kenfield, is K-E-N-F-I-E-L-D, SueKenfield.com. So I think you're uniquely positioned to be talking about resiliency. With what Americans have gone through this last year, And then when we look at what's happening on the political climate, just the continual encroachment on our freedoms, the continual assault on the Bill of Rights, just like when we were looking at this legislation regarding firearms and people having the, you know, that Bill of Rights right to Second Amendment right for their firearms. I mean, there is just this continual barrage on people, and how do people remain resilient in this time, Sue Kinfield?
It's a great question, Kim. You know, I've reflected a lot about what's taken place over this last year, what I had to deal with, you know, as I was helping employees process through this. And, you know, the sense of control is really important to people in terms of how much control do I have over my life? And because of the number of restrictions and changes, a lot of people lost control. They might have lost their job. They might have lost a family member in that sense of, you know, this outside thing coming over and taking over our lives. And people can operate with a couple different mindsets, either a fixed mindset in which they believe that, you know, their intelligence or their talents are simply fixed traits and, you know, that they don't really have much of an impact on what happens to them, or people who have a growth mindset in which they believe that their basic abilities can be developed through dedication and hard work, that whatever intelligence we have or talent we have is just a starting point. We have to add some effort to that. And so I help people develop, you know, more of that growth mindset, if you will. And, you know, two key filters, I guess, if you will, talking about how we perceive what happens to us in our life is, you know, what we believe, you know, our personal beliefs, and the sense of personal responsibility, you know, that belief that our successes or our failures are somehow, you know, they're determined by our own motivation and our own efforts. And that's a really empowering thing to have. You know, some people poo-poo, if you will, personal responsibility. And yet it has an important place in resiliency, because people who feel like they can control their own circumstances are those who have more high personal responsibilities, and they're more likely to engage in proactive behaviors and persist in the face of adversity. And we've had to persist in the face of this adversity, I think, a lot longer than any of us ever anticipated when we were talking about flattening the curve this time last year.
Yeah, the 2 weeks to flatten the curve has turned into quite some time. Hey, Sue Kinfield, let's go to break. We're talking with Sue Kinfield at SueKinfield.com about resiliency. Before we do that, though, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. Wednesday is Wings Day there. If you to go or dine in, if you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. And they have these great smoked wings that are half the calories with all these different rubs or different sauces that you can put on it. There's the Texas barbecue rub, lemon rub, habanero. There's 5 locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. For more information, go to my website, click on the sponsors tab. That will drop down, and then, of course, click on Hooters, and that will give you all those specials. And again, go to KimMunson.com for that. We'll be right back with Sue Kinfield.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich and Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich and Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. On the line with me is Sue Kinfield. She is an expert on resiliency and emotional intelligence. She helps companies and nonprofits and individuals, I think, get to a point where they live the life that they were really meant to live, that each of us. And great work that you're doing on that, Sue Kenfield.
Thanks, Kim. It's a heartfelt mission. It's an honor to be able to help people.
Well, and boy, I tell you, there's so much going on out there. Sue, yesterday when you and I were chatting, the Epoch Times has reported that Kroger, the grocery store Kroger, has closed down two California stores in Long Beach, California, after the Long Beach City Council approved a COVID-19 related hero pay ordinance that increased wages by $4 per hour. The pay increase mandated in January was for workers who were employed at pharmacies and retail stores with 300 or more employees in the Southern California city. The move was announced earlier this year, but the Ralphs and Food for Less, both operated by Kroger, were shut down on April 17th. Let's take a look at this. We see elected representatives, politicians, bureaucrats. So your politicians are elected, your bureaucrats are not, and your interested parties influence things. And here they come in and mandate an additional $4 per hour, which people probably thought, oh, this is great, I'm going to make more money. Guess what? They don't have a job now because of what these PBIs have done. And not only that, these two communities, or this community, no longer has two grocery stores. Just think what that does for people that used to be able to go down the street to their grocery store to get their food. So here we have, in essence, these PBIs have, because of their actions, people have lost their jobs and they've also lost their food source. How are you resilient when you've got PBIs doing this kind of stuff?
Well, that certainly adds another layer of challenge on top of everything else that we're dealing with. And I have to take a step back and, you know, kind of look at it in its totality. And, you know, the initial desire to help other people make more money is well-intentioned, right? But there's a saying out there, the road to, you know, whatever is paved with good intentions. To demand that a business increase their hourly wage by $4 an hour without that business getting the opportunity to prepare and figure out how are they going to do that, because something has to give unless you have a massive increase in your revenue, it's really unfortunate. And now, you know, there's jobs available in that community, and all those people who now have to find another job, you know, to try to fulfill that innate need that we all have for that that sense of well-being that we get from work, and, you know, the earned success that comes from providing for ourselves and feeling like we have some control over our destiny and our ability to provide. And that goes across any kind of political party or political belief. It's that need that people have to feel like they have some sense of control over their life. And so you have sort of this juxtaposition here where you want the local, you know, electeds or bureaucrats are, again, trying to take some control and force organizations to comply. And then that takes away the control that the individuals who work there may feel. And now those people are without a job. So now their challenge of trying to become more resilient gets even more difficult. And last year, Cigna did some research that showed 60% of Americans are not resilient. I think a lot of people have built some resilience coming through this pandemic. But it's frustrating for someone like me who understands how important the human element is in the business world and in our society to watch this play out. And I feel for those people who are now without a job because some elected officials thought that they should be able to demand a change in their rate of pay, which I'm sure a lot of them were looking forward to. But businesses can't always absorb that.
Well, and then the other thing, Sue, is the people that no longer have the grocery stores in their community. I mean, to possibly have to travel to a grocery store now. I find that, I mean, I find it really irresponsible. And as you mentioned, it could sound like it was well-intentioned. But then in swoops the government, in swoops the PBIs to say, well, we'll give you unemployment. And you kind of hit on this. There is the dignity of work, the dignity of earned income. And once we start to separate, as Bob Woodson said, start to separate income from work, I'm very concerned about everyday individuals, but I'm also concerned about our country.
Well, and I talk to a lot of employers who are still struggling to find, you know, qualified people. There are jobs out there, but they're not getting a lot of qualified candidates. And so, you know, you've got this reverse incentive for people to, you know, maybe not explore the use of their gifts and their talents because of the false security. I mean, in terms of unemployment as a temporary situation, that's not going to be able to go on forever. And it saves a lot of people, right, being able to have unemployment and keep a roof over their head and food on the table. But we have to get people back to, you know, using their gifts and talents, finding that meaningful work, allowing the free enterprise system to work for the human flourishing aspects that we all want to see. Because without that, it can be a bleak future for a lot of people when those benefits are going to have to be cut because it's just not sustainable in the long run.
There's a difference between human flourishing and just humans existing. Mm-hmm. And inherently, I think humans do want to flourish and not just exist. But we're seeing some just existing with, again, many of these policies. I mean, think about the Keystone Pipeline workers. Biden comes in and closes down the Keystone Pipeline. These people basically lost their job overnight. And we need to move towards, once again, that American idea of human flourishing instead of just human existing. So we've got probably about 4 minutes left. What are some concrete things that people can do regarding resiliency in the environment that we're in right now?
And I think it provides a great opportunity for people to kind of really reflect and determine, you know, what they can control. You know, stress levels are off the chart. People are feeling frustrated with job insecurity. A big area that people are struggling with is low job control with high job demands because of the way they've had to shift how they work. And then the level of uncertainty that we're all dealing with. It's like, what's coming next and when is this going to resume something that resembles normal? And so people being able to reach for that, what do I have control over in my life? And, you know, identify what their objective is because they're having to deal with this on a number of different planes in their life, right? Taking care of their kids at home, getting their kids to school or online for distance learning, fulfilling their job responsibilities or looking for a job, you know, if they'd rather, again, use their gifts and talents for that earned success. And, you know, focus on a few things. It can be really overwhelming because there's a lot coming at people right now. And if people try to tackle all fronts at once, that can be debilitating and it can set people back. So remember that you can always change your response to these circumstances by understanding and changing, you know, what your feelings are about it, what your thoughts are about it, which actually lead to the behaviors. And those are things that you have control over. And people who tend to have more of a external locus of control or that fixed mindset where they believe that everything that's happening outside of them determines their life, they're going to struggle a little bit more. And so I really encourage those people to do some introspection and find a place where you do have control over your life. And those people who have more of a growth mindset or an internal locus of control know that they can influence the trajectory of their life. That's a capability we all have, but it's a mindset that we choose to develop and then operate under. So you can choose your mindset, and that's what you have control over as well. It takes practice. It might take some support. And so, you know, remember that you can always change your response to the circumstances. And then look for those areas where you feel you're gaining ground, where you feel like you have some success and you've made some positive changes, or you're having some good interactions, or you've landed, you know, a job, even if it isn't your perfect job. You're doing something to take care of how you can take care of your family and yourself by having more of that sense of control over your circumstances and doing things that are proactive to support your objectives.
Well, and I think a lot of this I'm hearing is how you also kind of talk to yourself, celebrate your successes instead of focusing on all of the challenges out there. And don't you think each person, every day, we have something, some success to be grateful for, something to be grateful for? And that grateful component is really important as well, correct, Sue?
Yes, bringing a sense of gratitude. And I have a gratitude practice. I've been doing a gratitude journal every night before I go to bed for probably 5 or 6 years now. And I just think of, you know, I'm up to 7 things now every night that I express gratitude for. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, I had a really good interaction with somebody today, or I kept my thoughts in a positive direction, or I didn't burn breakfast.
There you go.
Sometimes you have to look for those things that went well, and they may seem insignificant at times, but they're there.
They are there. Sue Kinfield, that's SueKinfield.com, SueKinfield.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, my friends, Dale Carnegie said, most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.